All right, we're back. Second ever episode of the 2N Sports Podcast, and the first episode with my partner in the 2N Sports crew, Daniel Trummel. What's up, D-Trum?
It's great that we found out how to do this through such an unprecedented time and just such a tough situation that we're in. And I'm actually 4 hours away from where you are, Carver, as I'm actually at my cabin doing this podcast. But I am more than excited to get this whole thing going. This could lead to somewhere that we may not even think of right now, but it happens. It truly does happen to
that's what I'm saying.
We some keep, random people.
We keep grinding. We'll get there eventually. You know, it could take off any one of these days, right? So
exactly.
Finally got the duo here for the first time. You're hearing us both together. Daniel had a great idea for today's pod. With the NFL Week 13 just wrapping up, we'll come out with a recap in these next couple days, I'm sure. But we're going to go through as of right now and go through the 2021 NFL draft order and do a mock draft, even though obviously seeding's not set yet. Playoff teams aren't even set yet. Nothing is set in stone yet. The Jets might not even have the first pick, but seeming how they obviously purposely lost that game to Las Vegas this past weekend, you would assume that they would be picking first. But I think we are good, Daniel, to get right into it here. So picking first, obviously, at 0-12 right now, from the AFC, the New York Football Jets. What are we thinking here for the Jets?
Before I even draft, I'm getting rid of Gase. First things first. But I'm picking the Lord and Savior of this New York franchise in Trevor Lawrence. It's just clear as day.
It has to be. There's no way that they could pass up on Trevor Lawrence. He's a franchise quarterback. He is a slam dunk number one first overall pick for the New York Jets if they do land there, which it looks like they will.
The only controversy about this first pick, in my opinion, is what am I getting for Darnold? And I think the first pick doesn't even have to correlate with that, but the draft, in this draft, I could see the Jets contemplating about, was it the Dolphins? What did they trade for Rosen? Was it 2-4?
I think it was a second and a fifth.
Fifth? Yeah, so if I'm the Jets, am I asking for a second and third here?
Darnold definitely holds more value. He holds more value than Rosen did last year for sure. But the question is, do people look at what he's done with Gase there and be like, oh, it's all Adam Gase's fault? Or do they look at it and be like, well, Sam Darnold hasn't done a good job of accepting the system that Gase wants to run and running with it? But
at all these players this year that have just broke out that used to have Gase.
It's true.
As we've seen from Ryan Tannehill the past couple years. Mm-hmm. Robbie Anderson this year, who has had just an absolute career season out of nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah, if I'm the Jets this offseason, I'm firing Gase. I'm taking Trevor Lawrence number one overall, and I'm trading Sam Darnold to whoever will take him, honestly, for at least a second-round pick. I think he's worth.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
But Trevor Lawrence, 6'6", 220 pounds, out of Clemson. I mean, national championship winner. He's got that pedigree. He comes into the NFL. As a winner. He's just a proven winner. It's like Justin Jefferson this year out of LSU for the Vikings, a 22nd overall pick, but he's a proven winner at LSU, national championship winner, and look what he's doing.
Exactly.
22nd overall pick, number one, most would say, in rookie of the year running right now. Trevor Lawrence, he has that pedigree. He has the stature of a modern-day quarterback, and he actually is really athletic. If you go back and watch some of the highlights, especially in that Ohio State title game, or not, semifinal game, the year they won the title at Clemson, he had that, 65-yard run where he juked out about five defenders? It was nuts. He's got that athleticism, too. I think he's an all-around quarterback, and he's going to be a franchise quarterback for the New York Jets.
Yeah, I love Trevor Lawrence, and if I had to make a comparison with Trevor Lawrence, I really couldn't. I think Trevor Lawrence is the next Trevor Lawrence, and I think he's going to go down as one of the greats.
For real, he's a big quarterback. Honestly, we don't see many of those coming into the NFL now. It's all these small, speedy guys, Kyler Murray, and Russell Wilson. And he can Wilson. Sling it. I know.
He can sling it. Most of these quarterbacks in this draft actually have really questionable arm strength. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence does not have a questionable arm strength at all. You look at Mac Jones, you look at Justin Fields and Trey Lance, they all can put in those tight pockets, but can they sling it downfield? And Trevor Lawrence is the only one I can trust going 50 yards in the air.
Exactly. Like, a couple weeks ago, Justin Fields had, two first-half interceptions against Indiana, and they're both on deep throws. So that should tell you enough about why Trevor Lawrence should be over him. I mean, there's a little bit of a debate there just because of how athletic Fields is in and out of the pocket. But
that's almost like the college quarterback, wouldn't you think?
It is. It is. I think Lawrence is the slam dunk number one pick for the Jets here.
Yeah, and speaking about Fields, that's who I got number two. If we're staying on this quarterback page, I think the Jaguars right now.
Jacksonville, 1-11, picking second. Daniel Tremble thinks they'll go Justin Fields.
Yeah, he's been doing this for a couple years now, and the Ohio State just keeps on producing quarterbacks, man.
But
Joe Burrow went to Ohio State as well. But have they translated to the NFL?
They haven't. That's the question. You look at JT Barrett, you look at Cardale Jones, those guys are guys that are national championship winners. Dwayne Haskins, national championship winners that did not correlate to the NFL. Cardale Jones was last seen in the XFL, man. I mean, careers can turn around like that. One day you're national champion at Ohio State, the next day you're in the XFL. So is Ohio State good at producing NFL caliber quarterbacks? Still in question, for the most part.
But I feel like the Jaguars right now in their situation with, first they got to fire Marone, another head coach firing, in my opinion, and then you got Gardner Minshew, who honestly, where was he picked in the draft? What was he, like a
sixth round?
Like a fourth round pick?
Sixth round pick.
He's a sixth round talent. That is my opinion. I think he had a couple viral highlights and after that, he's kind of just the average quarterback. He's not a team leader.
Yeah, he's got the mullet.
He's a good backup quarterback.
That's true.
I think if you're trying to take that boom bust pick, Fields got all the potential to be great. He can make great reads. There's a highlight about him like leading a tackle 40 yards down the field, and that's what you want to see from a player. You want to see that effort.
Right. I think I agree with you there. I think Fields is the pick there. I think Minshew mania took off a little bit, but it's dulled down, and I don't think he showed flashes of being a franchise quarterback, but I really don't think he is even close to that point. So I think they do go with Fields there. I think that's a player you can't pass up with Lawrence off the board. I think he is the number two quarterback in the draft by a lot. I think those two are at the top, and then it's quite a drop-off. But there's a lot that'll still go in the first round. So that fills the Jaguars' quarterback needs. And then we move on to three. We have the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think
we just drafted a quarterback.
They just drafted a quarterback. So they got their franchise guy, even though he's got a torn ACL, which sucks.
I think
so
you
bad.
Protect your franchise guy.
Exactly. I go Penei Sewell out of Oregon. He's the number one tackle in this draft, number one lineman all around in this draft. I mean, he's just a star. He's a star lineman. We rarely say that nowadays, but he's a star lineman.
And he opted out this season, but I think no team should be afraid of him opting out his freshman and sophomore year. He was just a man amongst boys out there. And he can play tackle for you. He can play guard for you. He can play center. You got Jonah Williams, who's still a great prospect that the Bengals drafted a while ago, and you put those two up next to each other. And if I'm the Bengals, I'm picking O lineman only this draft. You're looking at a good offense with Tyler Boyd, AJ Green decreasing in value, but still a good receiver.
T. Higgins.
Joe Mixon shows T. Higgins this year has shown flashes of a very great wide receiver.
Joe Mixon's a star running back.
Joe Mixon is a star. Unfortunately, that O-line has not held up to show the true development that he has had, but he did sign that big contract, and it's not like he signed that for nothing. I say Sewell is the home run here for the Bengals, as that's their must need, is to protect their franchise quarterback in Burrow.
Yeah, I think the same. I think you're seeing swing Jonah Williams, who's been out his whole NFL career so far, but former number 11 overall pick. I think you swing him to right tackle. And then put Sewell at his natural position at left tackle. You got both ends covered. with young star linemen. Hopefully Williams can stay healthy, and that can be a scary team if you protect Burrow back there. I could see them trading back into the first round near the end and drafting a tight end there too, because they're kind of weak at that position. But someone like Kyle Pitts maybe in the late teens or something. But yeah, I think
if we get down there, I think another team will be picking Pitts, but yeah. We'll see. I don't have a trade going down in this first round actually until number 10, I think. But
yeah. Yeah, I think Sewell goes number 3. I think he's far and above the best lineman in this draft, and I think you can't pass him up when you have your franchise quarterback. Yep. You gotta protect your man.
Yeah, gotta build. I think you build around Burrow now. You tanked for Burrow, exactly. Now you build around Burrow.
Exactly. At number 4, we have the Los Angeles Chargers, who are actually not a bad team, but they're sitting at 3-9. 3-9 right now. A lot of their losses have been by 1 point or could have won games. They could be over 500 right now if they'd won those close games, but they are sitting at 3-9. They are sitting at the number 4 pick, so that's what we're going by. Daniel, what are you thinking for the Chargers here?
Yeah, and I think why they're losing these games, Carver, is because of the defense. Their offense is doing, if you look at those scores, they're putting up 30, they're putting up high 20s.
It's true.
They're almost outscoring the Saints, and they're putting up points. Yep. Like, I think it's the defense, and most places most mock drafts people are gonna say Chargers can't pass up on these generational receiver talent. Mm-mm. But they got Keenan Allen, who's just been an absolute animal this year.
Mike Williams, young,
who's
still
I've
young,
always been a fan
young.
Of. I love Mike Williams. I love me some Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry's one of the most slept on tight ends.
They drafted KJ Hill last year out of Ohio State earlier in the draft. So they have.
So
weapons.
I wouldn't waste another.
And they have Eckler, who catches tons of passes.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't waste your pick on a receiver here. I'm actually right here. I'm going to be picking the linebacker from Penn State, Micah Parsons. Here, it may be a little high for some, but right. I think that they got a good core at their corners, as they have signed corners. They have Chris Harris Jr., if I'm not mistaken, and they have Derwin James, who's been hurt the whole year, who's going to return next year, and he's always been a top 5 safety ever since he's entered the league. And I think adding Micah Parsons at that linebacker position, as you develop Kenneth Murray after you drafted him this year and put those two next to each other, I think that's a pretty scary team. And you could also argue looking at an edge rusher to replace Melvin Ingram as he's deteriorating and getting older. Mm-hmm. But you got Joey Bosa, man. That's all I got to say. You got Joey Bosa. Yeah. That's a 4-1 right there. That's like 4 D linemen in one.
You're right.
Man, and I think Micah Parsons may be a reach for some teams, but for the Chargers, I think that's all they need, man, because Justin Herbert can sling it, and it's the defense losing the games.
No, I totally understand that pick. But this is the first pick where I'm going to disagree with you, Daniel. I think we might have a few of these along the way, but I think I have the Chargers taking Patrick Surtain II, the cornerback out of Alabama, because Chris Harris, I mean, he's 31 years old.
They got Desmond King as well.
They traded Desmond at the trade deadline to the Titans. Him. They have Casey Hayward, who's not bad. Casey Hayward is a good corner. Chris Harris is aging.
Getting older as well.
Chris Harris and Casey Hayward are both aging. They have Derwin James at strong safety. They have the young rookie star, Nasir Adderley, at free safety out of Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if they get Surtain, once Chris Harris deteriorates a little bit, I mean, Chris Harris is like the perfect mentor for a guy like Surtain. I feel like he can come in and be like under him for a couple years and then take over as the number one corner, you know what I mean, once Chris Harris retires. Because most corners are done in the NFL at 33, 34, unless you're, of course, like Richard Sherman. I feel like he's going to play forever. But, I mean, I think they go Surtain here. I mean, like you said, they could look at edge rusher, but with Melvin Ingram on IR this year, they have a guy named Uchenna Nwosu who's actually stepped up pretty well here with a few sacks.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have Kenneth Murray, and then the other linebackers are relatively unknown players. So I definitely could see them drafting Parsons. I think that would be a great pick for them, but I think
they could even trade back because Parsons might not go till later.
Yeah,
so
he could
think that's
drop
what
to like,
they should think.
Yeah, I don't think Parsons drops that low. I think he drops a little bit because of just opting out and all that stuff. But I think if he drops to around 10, then I would consider trading back up for him definitely if I'm the Chargers. But I think they go Surtain. I think they go Surtain, but they definitely could go Parsons. I think both our picks here have a lot of value to them. So,
yeah, and these upcoming teams after the Chargers, like the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Panthers, they don't need linebackers.
Mm-mm.
I think you could potentially trade down a little if I'm the Chargers, but then again, Surtain's not a bad pick at all. But
right.
I have Surtain actually going 5 to the Cowboys as we
right.
finish our Chargers conversation. I got Surtain at 5, and of course we're going to have a disagreement because you have Surtain going 4 and I have him going 5. Right. But the Cowboys, man, they have historically one of the worst defenses of all time.
Correct.
This season, this at correct. Least. They have been letting teams score all over them. And
this is correct.
They can win most games, honestly. Like that Steelers game this year where they had this guy named, Garrett Graham, GG.
Garrett Gilbert. By the way, Garrett Gilbert article on our website. Garrett Gilbert article on our website.
You guys can read that and know more than me about him. But they almost won that game. They could have won the Seahawks game. But that defense, and this is going to be their back-to-back Alabama corner pick. As Trayvon Diggs, sometimes I look at him, the cousin of Stephon. The man I miss from Minneapolis, but sometimes I look at Trayvon Diggs and I'm like, wow, they got him in the second round at the steal. And then other times I'm like, he should have been drafted, man. The Cowboys obviously need corners, as Trayvon Diggs is actually their number one corner from the departure of Byron Jones. And they've had deteriorating and old corners. And they already have Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith at the linebacker position. Mm-hmm. And I think Surtain would be the perfect pick here, as they got one of the best offenses in the league when Dak is healthy, and Dak proved the first 4 games that he is the real deal.
Right, right. No, I definitely could see them going corner here if Surtain is here. But with him off my board, my next best corner on the board is Caleb Fairley out of Virginia Tech, and I don't think they reach that far for him, though. I see him going early teens, maybe late singles, but I think that they do focus on their defense. They don't need any more offensive weapons. They have Dak, Zeke. They drafted CeeDee. They have Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper. I think they go Gregory Rousseau out of Miami, the edge rusher.
I like that.
He's the number one edge rusher in this class by quite a bit, edging the Michigan kid, Kwadi Paye. But I think they go edge rusher. Tyrone Crawford is the edge rusher opposite DeMarcus Lawrence right now. And...
That lacks a lot.
Let's see how old Tyrone Crawford is. Tyrone Crawford
and
is...
And the loss of Everson Griffin.
31 years old. Tyrone Crawford's 31 years old. They traded away Everson Griffin. I think because of that trade, I look at that and say, okay, so they're probably targeting an edge rusher maybe in the draft. But opposite DeMarcus Lawrence, I think Rousseau could do some damage with that defense. If Surtain was there, I would definitely say they would take him. But I think if he's not on the board at 5, then I think they do go Rousseau. Just because there's more of a need there than there is at corner if Surtain's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And Rousseau's been nothing but a monster for Miami all his years there.
He's been
great.
He's been carrying that Miami defense.
Yeah,
and,
so...
And he's been just crazy.
He's a stud. And I could definitely see them... either in the second round, because second round they got a steal last year in Trayvon Diggs. I could see them going corner in the second round, or maybe trading back into late first and getting one, because this is a decently corner deep class, if I do.
Oh,
I
it
do
is.
Remember.
It was very good talent. As you said earlier, the VTech Fairley kid. He is not that much worse than Surtain, watching him at Bama, he just looks like an NFL ready corner.
Yeah.
Alabama just produces.
Yeah,
such great NFL talent, and this is the second year in a row where the Cowboys got that pick before the Eagles,
right.
And could be potentially screwing them up as they pick CeeDee Lamb, which was just a home run of a pick. They didn't even need a receiver, but the Eagles did.
He's a stud. Yeah,
and I think Eagles pick receiver.
I think
right now, if it's ended, Eagles get 6. I say they get the guy who had 200 receiving yards in the first half. Mr. Devontae Smith from Alabama.
Really?
I don't care about his stature at 6'1", 180. I could care less. The man is like one of the best SEC receivers of all time. He is his hands is just great. His route running is great. He's a deep threat. He's just everything you want from receiver. And that's everything the Eagles want, is they've had full cam as the receiver one for the past 6 weeks now. Their best one's Alshon Jeffrey, and he is old as dirt. And so I think just Devontae Smith and helping out Wentz or potentially Jalen Hurts. I think the system at Philadelphia really needs a change, but I think Devontae Smith is the perfect pick you're needing.
Right, right. At six for the Eagles, Daniel's going Devontae Smith. I am going to take a receiver for the Eagles as well, but I am going to go with Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU.
Ooh.
Opted out this year, but I still think he's the number one receiver in the class. Same height as Devontae at 6'1", but 25 pounds heavier at 200. He was a better wide receiver last year at LSU on that national championship team than Justin Jefferson was, which is saying a lot because mm-hmm. Jefferson is the, I would say, consensus rookie of the year as of now. But I think Ja'Marr Chase is still the best receiver in this class, despite opting out for the season. I think the Eagles need a bigger receiver. I would say Jalen Waddle is up there with Ja'Marr Chase, just because that small, speedy receiver is becoming more and more effective in today's NFL. You look at guys like Tyreek Hill. But last year, the Eagles in the first round went with Jalen Reagor, who is also a small and speedy wide receiver type. So I feel like they need that guy who's over 6 foot, can go up and catch passes over these cornerbacks.
Can line on the outside of the exactly. sideline, for
sure. Ja'Marr Chase is basically my premises for this is Ja'Marr Chase. He has that national championship.
A lot more physical.
National championship pedigree, more physical than Devontae Smith. I feel like Smith is more mm-hmm. of a speed guy, but Chase can go up and win the 50-50 balls, which is what I think the Eagles need, because I don't think Alshon Jeffrey is going to be on the team next year. And he's been out all of this year. So I think Ja'Marr Chase is the pick here, but I like both of those receiver picks. I think the
Eagles need a lot.
I think the Eagles definitely need a receiver.
They need to work on a lot.
Yeah.
But I think receiver, they need to. This is the second year in a row they drafted receiver first round, but they need to hit it at least once to help out that quarterback, because their defense shows up. Sometimes their defense shows up on game, and it really just ends up being in the quarterback's hands. And there's only so much Wentz can do with that third string old line and the just practice squad receivers. But
I mean, can we call Jalen Reagor like a semi bust? Can we call him any kind of a bust yet?
He showed he well. Did you see the punt return?
I did see that.
Green Bay.
He shows flashes, but he doesn't catch passes. He doesn't get receptions and doesn't get yards. He had that punt return touchdown, but I never seem to see him catch passes.
It's a shame the Eagles passed up on DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson in two straight drafts. It is, and last year they also passed on Jeremy Chinn, and that leads us to number seven. If it ended today, the Panthers just absolute steal with Jeremy Chinn last year, and I think
defensive rookie of the year
that they're not going defense. Right now. Yeah, he could potentially be defensive rookie of the year. My Indianapolis Colts side will say Blackman has had a very elite season as well, but Chinn's got the numbers.
Yeah.
But back to the Panthers.
Two fumble recovery touchdowns in one game against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. I'd like to ask you this, Carver. What do you think about Teddy Bridgewater and franchise quarterback in the same sentence?
Okay. Here's my beef. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is an above-average NFL quarterback. Okay?
He is.
He can win games. He can win you games. He's proven that in Minnesota, and he's proven that in Carolina. He can win you games. When the only weapon he has on his offense is Christian McCaffrey, and McCaffrey's out for the whole year, so you're stuck with Robbie Anderson and Mike Davis.
DJ Moore is good. DJ Moore has been a very good receiver for the past couple years.
Why is DJ Moore not on their depth chart? Why did I not see that? Okay. Okay, let me take that back. Teddy Bridgewater does have weapons, actually. Robbie Anderson,
and
DJ Moore.
System. I think what Matt Rhule Curtis has done Samuel. With Carolina has been great.
Right. You got Curtis Samuel, who's good. They have actually three above-average receivers. I was going to have them take a receiver because I didn't see DJ Moore, but now I think I'm going to take that back. And they've drafted defense both of the last 2 years in the first round, and they got Jeremy Chinn in the second last year, but they got Derek Brown, defense tackle out of Auburn, at number 7 overall last year. And they got Brian Burns, the end out of Florida State, the year before that in the first round.
And who's just been an absolute killer.
Exactly.
Out there.
They've both been really good for the Panthers' defense. But
and the O-line isn't bad. The O-line in Carolina is
the
not
O-line
bad at
is
all.
Actually the O-line is pretty good. You got Russell Okung, who's a Super Bowl winner with Seattle. Matt Pardee, who
Turner's
just
still there?
Who?
Trey Turner. Is he still over there?
Mm-mm. I have no idea where he's at. But they have Greg Little, who they drafted in the first round a couple years back as well. Matt Pardee, who they just signed to a big contract this offseason. He was like the top-notch center on the board. I think their offensive line is pretty much set. Do you think they go offense here, Daniel, or do you think they go defense? Because they're linebackers.
I think they go with the Mormon. I think they go with Zach Wilson, the raw talent out of BYU.
Wow.
And honestly, I'm saying you test the Wilson factor, because Teddy Bridgewater, as a Vikings fan, every time he scrambles, I'm scared his leg is just going to flail off his body. Okay. And honestly, Teddy Bridgewater, like you said, he wins games, but can he take it to the next level? And I think that's why you do this first round pick. You could potentially, do the Panthers really need this high of a pick, as McCaffrey's been out, and honestly, McCaffrey wins games.
No, but they'll take it. I mean, I think they knew that they weren't going to make the play, or weren't going to be a force in the playoffs if they made it. So they'll take a high pick. They'll take a high pick for sure.
I think they pick Zach Wilson here, as he's the next best quarterback talent in this draft.
You think so? You have him above Lance on your big board, huh?
I have Zach Wilson above Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance has a lot to prove. Being more of a runner, I haven't really seen him make any great passes like Zach Wilson has. I have him top three in my Heisman this year as well. I think he's a franchise quarterback potentially, and I think this is a huge step for Carolina if they want to reach to the next level. Teddy Bridgewater will not let them take it to the next level. So Zach Wilson is my pick at number seven.
No, that's definitely a good pick. However, I think that they go on the opposite side of the ball, and I think they take that defense to just a whole another level with the guy that you had taken at number four. I'm going Micah Parsons out of Penn State, finally coming off the board for me. I have him going to Carolina at seven, same spot they picked last year. I think Micah Parsons just takes that defense to a whole nother level. Slide him in with Shaq Thompson and Jeremy Chinn in there at linebackers, and I think you have a big three of linebackers. Put Shaq Thompson in the middle, put Micah Parsons outside, and Jeremy Chinn on the other side, and you have a big three of linebackers, and I think that defense can just dominate now. With that dominant linebacker there, I think that defense can dominate.
If Parsons falls, I agree the Panthers should not hesitate at all and pick Parsons. I'm a big Parsons guy, but then again, I have him going up to the Chargers, and then I have also, like you said, if Surtain fell, or vice versa, if Surtain went to the Chargers, then the Chargers would take that. But I think, honestly, Panthers take Zach Wilson here as a quarterback, because I think they're thinking the same thing with Teddy. Mm-hmm. He's had a good season, but he's not even their biggest weakness either, but
I think
with a top 10 pick, you pick a top 10 talent, and I see Zach Wilson being top 10 talent.
Yeah, I don't think Teddy in any way is a franchise quarterback, but I think he can win games, which is why I think they wait until his big contract that they gave him is up, and then they go after another quarterback in free agency or get someone in the draft, trade up or something. But I think if Parsons is there, which he is in my mock draft, then I think they don't hesitate for a second and they take him just to take that defense to from a 9 to a 10 right now. I mean, I think if they take him,
they got James Brett over. No, they got rid of him, but
they have a whole.
Their corners have been pretty good.
They
and
have a defense full of just young awesome, stars. So Derek Brown, Brian Burns. Mm-hmm. Shaq Thompson's there. Jeremy Chinn, like you said, is just developing into a star in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So adding Micah Parsons to that defense, I think, could just take it to like a whole another planet. But
that's a good pick.
Now we can move on to number eight, Atlanta Falcons.
Another NFC West team. Or South.
NFC South team. Atlanta Falcons, another team that we thought were going to be really good this year just because they've been good in previous years with the same roster. Added Todd Gurley. You know, we thought they were going to be good, but Todd Gurley hasn't had a terrible year. Julio Jones has been
out. The arthritis, man.
Julio Jones has been out almost all year, which obviously hurts
Ridley
your offense.
Is elite.
Ridley
now.
Has developed into a star. So
another Alabama stud.
We know they don't need receivers here at eight. Daniel, who do you have?
Even Gage, man. Gage has
Russell Gage. He's
classes.
Been good. But you know who the fourth wide receiver on their depth chart is?
Who?
Laquon Treadwell. Our favorite
Never
guy
thought
here
I would hear that name again.
Our favorite guy here in Minneapolis.
Yeah, well, at number eight, you could say they might trade down as Matt Ryan is getting older, and they might look at maybe a quarterback, maybe, and there's some late first-round quarterback talent in this draft. But honestly, because of their just loss of a pass rush this past couple years after they had Vic Beasley, if you remember that name, go, and they brought players in like Dante Fowler and Adrian Claiborne, and they hit a home run in Tack McKinley, but they just really haven't popped out as what they thought they would. I think they pick the Michigan kid, Quiddy Pay, high A here at number 8.
Okay.
As I actually have him above who you said as an edge rusher. I have him above Gregory Russo.
Really?
From Miami, and I think right now the Pie A pick here at number 8 would be ideal for the Falcons, as they don't really have any other needs. I think Deion Jones is one of my favorite linebackers, always has been.
He's
super speedy.
He's a stud.
He's very good. And he's a stud. And their secondary is not all that bad either. Mm-hmm. But I think Quiddy Pie A is the pick here, as they have the GOAT Young Hoku as well. So I think they picked the edge rusher at 8.
Right. Okay. And I think I'm going to agree with you on that pick.
There we go.
The offense actually looks pretty good. We talked about their wide receivers are good. Todd Gurley, Matt Ryan, he's getting old. You could see them maybe drafting Trey Lance or Zach Wilson, but that line is actually unreal. They have a really good offensive line. They have Grady Jarrett, Dante Fowler on the D-line. Tack McKinley's gone. That leaves the other defensive end spot open. I think they do go Quiddy Pie here out of Michigan. I think that's the pick. With Russo off the board on my draft, that's who I have them picking. You have them picking him over Russo. But I think they're set on corners. They have A.J. Terrell, first-round pick last year, Darquez Denard, Ricardo Allen and Keanu Neal at safeties. They have DeMonte KZ, Deion Jones, Foyasad Olokun. They have good linebackers.
Oh, I love him. I love Olokun. I think he's a budding
he's
star.
He's actually good.
And the linebacking core.
Him and Deion Jones form that tandem at linebacker.
He can run stopper, pass coverage guy. He can rush. He's got. I think is he a rookie this year?
He might be. I'm not sure.
Because he has been. I remember watching the Vikings Falcons game that we just looked pathetic in.
Yeah,
he just looked like the next thing, and so
I really think
that Falcons team, if they can piece it together, maybe some younger players, as Julio is actually aging as a receiver, aging, and so
opposite Dante Fowler is like that speed rusher, and I think Quiddy Pie brings that too. Gregory Russo is more of like a power rusher. Kind of like a
run stopper type of guy.
Yeah. Because Russo's sitting at 6'6", 250. Well, Paye actually weighs a bit more, but he's a little bit shorter. He's more of a speed rusher than Russo is, and I think you put him opposite Dante Fowler. Those are two speed rushers that can get to the quarterback, and then you have Grady Jarrett, one of the best D tackles in the NFL to stop the run up there. So, I think they go Quiddy Paye there too. And number 9, we have Miami via Houston from that Laremy Tunsil trade, I believe.
Which turned out great, honestly. Tunsil's becoming one of the better tackles in the league.
It's turned out great for both teams. I think he's one of the best tackles in the league, obviously. But Houston being so bad this year, I think that's turned out absolutely amazing for the Dolphins, because the Dolphins are 8-4, and they're in a playoff spot right now. With
8-4,
Tua Tagovailoa blossoming into one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL.
I actually said he was going to be – I said after the draft, I was like, I think this kid is going to be the best quarterback in this draft. And it may not look like it right now, as Burrow and Herbert's played more games. They look better. But I think right now with the 9th pick, they actually go and get Ja'Marr Chase and help out Tua and get his offense going, because he's got Mike Gesicki, who is very inconsistent but has shown flashes of a great tight end. They have Devontae Parker, who saved my fantasy team, as most people know. I've been high on Devontae Parker, but there's only so much you can do when he's got the cornerback one on you every week. And I say pair him up with just one of the better receivers that we've seen the past 5 years in Ja'Marr Chase. As you said, he was better than Justin Jefferson back in college. And this kid's a real difference maker. And they got Myles Gaskin, who was undrafted, I'm pretty sure, and has been – has been a very good player for this Dolphins team. And so I think you go Waddle here as well as a shorter receiver that would complement Devontae Parker. But there's no way the Dolphins pass up on someone like Ja'Marr Chase at 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as their Brian Flores, coach of the year, right? He's a great coach. And the defense, man. I think this Dolphins team is just missing that offense, and they're forcing the AFC East.
Yeah,
sounds weird to say, but they are.
That's what I was going to touch on. The defense has blossomed this year. They brought in Kyle Van Noy. They brought in Byron Jones. Xavier Howard is a star. They drafted Noah Igbinoghene in the first round of last year's draft. Guys like Shaq Lawson, Christian Wilkins, Andrew Van Ginkle, Raekwon Davis.
They brought in Byron Jones.
All coming into their own. Jerome Baker is becoming a star linebacker. I think they go to the offensive side of the ball. Like you said, they're in need of a receiver. And I think they do take the guy you mentioned with Ja'Marr Chase off my board. I think they take Jalen Waddle out of Alabama, the shorter receiver, sitting at 5'10", same height as me, 182, even lighter than me. I think he complements Devontae Parker quite well. If he sits opposite of him, or even they put him in the slot, which is where they have Jakeem Grant right now. Similar players, but I think Waddle is definitely more talented hands-wise and speed-wise. So I think Waddle just adds that. It's the Tyreek Hill factor. Like, the Chiefs without Tyreek Hill are such a different team than they are with him. He just adds that factor where they need to have a safety deep, and they need to have their fastest corner has to be on him at all times. That opens up so much space for Devontae Parker on the opposite side, right? So I think they take Jalen Waddle at number 9.
Wow, and you don't have Devontae Smith going yet.
I don't. He's my number 3 receiver in this draft. He'll be soon.
About 4 or 5 receivers.
Yeah. The first round receivers are really deep, but past that, it's kind of a drop off. Whereas last year, there was about 3 rounds of receivers who were all deep. But
all right, at number 10, we have who just actually, I think they just won, actually, didn't they?
Broncos?
Or is the game still going on?
The Broncos?
No, I think it's the football team, right? Or they just won tonight, so yeah. Broncos would be at 10.
Yeah, Broncos at 10, Washington's at 11 because they're 5-7.
Now. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, the Steelers, they're overrated, but that's a whole different argument.
I'm kind of mad, number though. 10 I had money on the Steelers going undefeated, so.
Wow.
Just because it was such a big payout, man. It was like plus 500 odds, so like. Wow. I made like a $10 bet. I would have won $500. I mean, I think that was worth it. But to the football team, really, come on. Like, come on, man.
So, actually, my mistake, number 10 actually belongs to John Elway and the Denver Broncos.
Yes,
I think I still believe in Drew Locke. It could haunt them later in the future if they don't pick a quarterback with all this talent.
He's a Drew Locke believer, ladies and gentlemen. He's a Drew Locke believer. There's not many of them left.
But A.J. Boye's aging. The corners are looking pretty bad. You got Von Miller coming back, but he's going to be old. They got to work on the defense. They got Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons, which might be one of the better top 5 safety duels in the league. But I think they work on that secondary, and they pick who you had going earlier, I believe, Fairley at number 10. I have Caleb Fairley going at number 10 to the Broncos. This is a steal. If we're being completely honest, Caleb Fairley is a top 7 talent.
Yep.
In this draft, and I think it's him going at 10 for the Broncos is perfect. Home run right here.
All the quarterback needy teams are taking quarterbacks early, so it just opens up the spots for these players like Fairley to fall, and I am going to agree with you here. I think they take Caleb Fairley at number 10. I think he's the slam dunk pick here for Denver. I think they have their offensive weapons. They have Jerry Jeudy. They have Tim Patrick, who's coming into his own this year. KJ Hamler, second round pick last year. And Cortland Sutton, who's a superstar receiver who's been on IR this year. They have Noah Fant at tight end. That line is looking actually above average. Drew Locke at quarterback.
Got two-head monster.
Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay. I know. The defense is what they need to work on. They have Jarrell Casey. They have Bradley.
Without this
Bradley,
year, wasn't he?
He is. But they have Bradley Chubb up front, Shelby Harris. They have linebackers could be better, but there's no linebackers in this draft class that close
to what Parsons is at
Penn State. I don't think there's any that are really close to him. You can make a case for Dylan Moses, but I think he That would be a big reach for Denver here at 10.
Not close to the
at
talent
10,
as fairly.
At 10, you need
tech.
To get at 10. You need to get a superstar player. I feel like the top 15 picks, you have to get superstars. And I think they do go Caleb Fairley here out of Virginia Tech, the corner. Put him opposite AJ Bouye. Let him get mentored a little bit by Bouye in his last few years, and then become that number one corner in that blossoming secondary that they have with Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons back there as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I think good. We're two agreements in a row.
I like how this is going. Now,
and I was so eager to do this Washington football team pick, but now I'm doing it, and why I'm eager is because they're picking quarterback here, Carver. I think they picked Trey Lance.
Completely agree.
I think they picked Trey Lance here, number 11.
I agree with you. I think they go Trey Lance. I'm keeping Zach Wilson on my board for a little bit longer. I think they go Trey Lance. I have Trey Lance higher on my board than Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson is more NFL ready, but I think Trey Lance will be better in the long run if he has someone to mentor him. And I think Alex Smith, former number one overall pick, is the perfect person to do that for Lance. Dwayne Haskins is going to get traded to somebody. Hope someone will take a flyer on him, throw in a third round pick for him or something.
Yeah, it might be another 2-4 or 3-4 situation
exactly.
with Haskins, but.
Former mid first round pick who just hasn't panned out. I think Lance is the pick here, though. He's the perfect person for this Washington team and for Ron Rivera. He fits the system.
The Riverside Gambler. I said Lance is perfect with Ron Rivera here. And you got Antonio Gibson, another rookie running back who has just flourished in the system that they have. And even McKissick, they got the receiving back, running back combo.
And Bryce Love.
And then Terry McLaurin.
Former
How
Heisman
can we not
runner
talk
up.
About the football team?
Former Heisman.
How can we not talk about the football team and not talk about Terry McLaurin?
Yep. Terry McLaurin. He's quite the player, man. He's a superstar receiver. I'm officially naming Terry McLaurin a superstar receiver. And I don't think anyone can disagree with that.
This might be a very, very dramatic comparison, but the years I've watched Terry McLaurin now, the past couple of years, I am almost in shades of DeAndre Hopkins. As he started his career off with a very shaky quarterback situation, as he had, I think, Brock Osweiler and Matt Schaub and all these garbunzo quarterbacks. And that's almost Terry McLaurin right now. And they picked Deshaun Watson in Houston, and they might pick Lance here at 10, at 11. And that might shape into a combo that we might see in the next in the next 10 years.
If they can develop that chemistry, I think Lance is the perfect pick here for Washington, because he, like I said, he is one of those quarterbacks who's going to need a year or two sitting behind a veteran to develop and learn the NFL system coming out of NDSU. Hasn't exactly played the best opponents in the nation, like guys like Zach Wilson has at Coastal Carolina last week.
Mac Jones as well.
Lost Mac Jones. Justin Fields, Trevor
but
Lawrence,
then you
they
just
play
look
the top
at
opponents, but like Lance has the stats to back it up, and he has.
You
watch him
200
play,
rushing yards.
He's a stud. You watch him play, and he opens your eyes. He's just a star player.
He's a tall kid. He can throw the ball. I like Lance a lot, but NFL ready, like you said. I have Zach Wilson actually going up at 7, like I said, but I say right now at 11, you pick Trey Lance.
Yep. I think they go Lance here at 11. I think Zach Wilson stays on my board for just a little bit longer. Actually, I don't think he stays on my board anymore. As we move on to number 12 here, Detroit Lions. I think they take Zach Wilson, the quarterback, out of BYU. I think they're replacing Matthew Stafford. I don't know what they'll do with Stafford. They'll probably keep starting him for a year and let Wilson sit under him. But I think Zach Wilson is one of the most NFL-ready quarterbacks in this class, just behind Fields and Lawrence. I think he's the third most NFL-ready quarterback in this class, and I think Detroit doesn't really need that NFL readiness with Stafford, but I feel like they could definitely use that to their advantage. I feel like he can mature a lot under Stafford. They do play similar styles of quarterback. They're both mostly pocket passers.
They can throw on the run.
They like to throw on the run a lot. But they are similar quarterbacks, and I think Zach Wilson is the perfect fit for that Detroit Lions offense.
I think that's almost a wasted pick, in my opinion, for Detroit. I don't think they really need a quarterback. I think they should focus more on protecting their quarterback or building around his quarterback. Now, Stafford has done just fine with Kenny Galladay out as Marvin Jones Jr. He's a solid receiver, but he's not a wide receiver one, but he's been playing like a wide receiver one this past couple weeks, and their running backs have been great. As DeAndre Swift this year has really popped out as they hit a home run last year on DeAndre Swift. But I think they actually pick Rashawn Slater here from Northwestern at number 12 to protect Matthew Stafford for a couple more years and to burst lines open for DeAndre Swift. This might seem like a little bit of a reach, but here at 12, I think that this is a good spot for the Lions. I also see the Lions also looking into J.C. Horn, another corner from South Carolina, but I think this Lions team could really do good with Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, as he is a great quarterback or great old tackle to protect his quarterback. And he can almost do it all. He's almost like a Swiss Army knife.
See, that's surprising to me. I have a few offensive linemen above him on my board, but I could see them. I could see them going linemen for sure. I have guys like Alex Leatherwood from Alabama, Wyatt Davis from Ohio State, even Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech, all above him on my board. But no, I could see.
I feel like whenever I watch the Lions, especially on Thanksgiving from this week, Texans, or not necessarily week, but this year week, Texans rush defense, Stafford would get pressured almost every single play, and they would just. It's just I feel like his talent's getting wasted, and I think if you put this talent in Slater, who I think is going to be a top three, if I have him number two, but I think he's going to for sure be a top three talent for O-line, and I think if you put him right in the Detroit O-line, I think he might do very well, and this might be a good pick for the Lions.
Yeah, he's definitely a better fit for that Lions offense and Lions scheme than some other linemen that I have ranked above him, but I don't see them reaching for that. I think they do take a quarterback. So we can move on there to number 13. Who we got there? The Bears. Chicago Bears.
I wanna say quarterback, but
I don't know.
It might be a reach almost if you take quarterback here. I think with me, with my picks right now, and you still got Waddle on the board. And the Bears have Allen Robinson, and that's about it for weapons out over there. I think Waddle would be a great pick in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, I could see them going receiver, but they did draft Anthony Miller. Was 2 years
ago. That's right.
They have Darnell Mooney, who's kind of become decent this year.
Oh, that's right. They do have Mooney. Mooney has been very good this year. They don't really need a receiver.
But they don't need defenders. They don't need anybody on defense. Their defense is
– No, their defense
is good.
There's
not one weak spot on their defense. So if there
do you want them to trade down?
I think they do trade down. If those top four quarterbacks are all gone, then I think they do trade down. But are we doing trades in this mock draft or no?
Well, what were you thinking for a trade?
I don't know. I see my best prospect right now is Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida. But I still have Devontae Smith on the board. Do you have Jalen Waddle on the board anymore?
I do. I almost see Chicago trading down just one pick as San Fran's actually playing right now, but San Fran right now would have the 14th pick, right?
Yes.
I think they just trade with them as Niners could potentially get a quarterback, as I think that's what they need. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is anywhere near franchise at all. Mm-hmm. I think if the 49ers really wanted the quarterback, I think they'd trade with the Bears. But I think right now the Bears pick Jalen Waddle just because of talent. It's pure talent that you get in Waddle. And
all right,
I believe
I am gonna make a trade in my mock draft. I am going to trade first round picks Chicago and the New York Giants at 19. I think New York trades up to 13. They get Devontae Smith, wide receiver out of Alabama, put him opposite Darius Slayton, or put him in the slot and have Sterling Shepard out wide. But I think that gives him a tandem of three solid receivers. And let's Devontae Smith take...
Budding receivers.
I think over time, that trio of receivers will let Devontae Smith eventually take over that receiving core and be that number one option for Daniel Jones, should he be their franchise quarterback. So I'm going to make that trade. I am saying New York trades up to 13, takes Devontae Smith, and gets a steal there at number 13 with the receiver out of Alabama.
The Bears pick is very questionable to me, as all they really need is that quarterback in there. As you said, They have Allen Robinson, Mooney, and Anthony Miller. But those names after Allen Robinson are a little shaky, in my opinion. I think if they really picked Waddle at 13, is that even that much of a reach? Waddle's just a stud.
No, Waddle's not. I had him. Playmaker. Where did I have Waddle going? I had Waddle going really high. I had him at, where did I have him? 9 to Miami? I had him at 9 to Miami. Opposite
Devontae. And I still have Gregory Russo, but they don't need an edge rusher in Chicago.
He's fallen in the draft. I had him at 5 to Dallas. Whew.
I don't see the Bears going with anyone else but Waddle here. And then I was gonna say they might swap picks with the Niners, but the Bears I don't think would threaten the Niners at all for quarterback. And honestly, the Niners might not even go QB here. Who do you have the Niners picking?
The 49ers here, let me see on their depth chart here. And with that Chicago-New York trade, Chicago moves back to 19th, which could be a spot for quarterback. That's my main reasoning for them trading back, is I think they do need a quarterback, and I don't think they want to reach for one at 13 if they can trade back to 19 and get the same one there. And add a couple picks. So the 49ers, they have a pretty good offense. I mean, they could obviously improve their wide receiver core. They drafted Ayuk first round last year. They have Debo, who I think can be a star within the next couple years.
Kittle.
George Kittle. So Kyle Pitts is not in the equation at all here. Just going to say that. But their defense is looking really scary as well. They drafted Kinlaw first round last year. They have Eric Armstead, Fred Warner, who's one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL right now.
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa, out for the year. Dee Ford is on IR. Solomon Thomas is on IR.
That's insane. Fred Warner.
Jaquiski Tartt is on IR. Jonathan Cyprian's on IR. And they still have Jimmy Ward,
they Richard still have Jamie Sherman, Ward,
Jason Verrett, Emmanuel Mosley.
And when you said Jason Verrett and Richard Sherman, that's where I smell the weakness. And I think J.C. Horn from South Carolina might be the pick for the 49ers.
Yep, you took the words right out of my mouth, Daniel. I think they take cornerback J.C. Horn out of South Carolina. He's my next cornerback up on the board. I think he's that
bumper. Kyle Shanahan's a Shanahan's a true believer in Garoppolo. He really is. I don't know why he is, but if Shanahan, I think he's one of the better coaches in the league. But
they're not taking a quarterback.
But Garoppolo has shined. He has shined in the 49ers game sometimes. But I think J.C. Horn he's almost like a slot corner plus a man coverage great outside corner. And so Richard Sherman, can you think of a better mentor than Richard Sherman?
As a corner, no, but Richard Sherman's a free agent after this year, and he just said in an interview that he doesn't think he's going to come back. He doesn't think they're going to offer him. He doesn't think they're going to offer him a new contract. He said he'd love to come back, but he doesn't think they're going to offer him a new contract. But that's another reason why.
With that being said, I think I'm going to agree with you. JC Horn sounds perfect.
I think JC Horn is the pick here. He's that bump and run. Great in man coverage corner that any team would love to have. And he's the number 3 corner on my board, just above Sean Wade from Ohio State. They're about the same size, same weight, but I think J.C. Horn is the better corner just because of his man coverage skills. And the 49ers are almost...
And without that 49ers old line almost, trade...
Yeah, they're almost always in
man
coverage.
Without
that
O-line trade they made last year with Trent Williams, I would have said an O-lineman here at 14, but they don't really need any much help at the... Old line, so I think J.C. Horn here is the perfect pick.
I agree with you.
I said pitch because I'm very enthusiastic about this next pick, Carver, as the Cardinals.
Cardinals?
They have number 15, and I think they add just to that juggernaut offense of Kingsbury, Hopkins, and Murray, and their best tight end is Dan Arnold,
They do have former Gopher Max Williams on the roster, even though he's not a lot better.
They do, but Kyle Pitts, I think, is like Darren Waller almost. And I think he's almost like that new tight end generation of that receiving. And right behind them are the Patriots, who really need offensive weapons and might even be eager enough to trade up for Pitts with one pick. But I have someone else going to the Patriots that we know very fond of. And so I think the Cardinals right now go Kyle Pitts, a very great receiving tight end who's going to fit perfectly into that scheme at Arizona and what they're doing. Their defense is very weak, but after J.C. Horn being picked, I don't really see any other corners that can be picked at 15. Their edge rushers are usually great. They have Chandler Jones, who's been hurt the whole year. And really, Buda Baker is looking like a top three safety in the NFL right now.
Yep. You're right. I think the Cardinals' secondary is top tier, even though their corners may be aging a little bit. They did draft Byron Murphy last year. They still have Robert Alford, who's on IR. Patrick Peterson's getting old. Jonathan Joseph's getting old, but they have those two guys who are young studs. And Buda Baker is one of the best safeties in the NFL already. And I think their linebacker core, they mostly play Jones at like an outside linebacker position. But he does play line at sometimes, but I think their line is really weak, which you might consider this a reach here, Daniel, but the third best line or edge rusher on my board is Carlos Basham Jr. out of Wake Forest, 6'5", 275 pounds.
He's got a lot of talent,
and he just looks like a stud, and he looks like he's NFL ready, and he's gonna be a really good edge rusher for years to come. And I think that allows them in Chandler Jones's final prime years to move him back to outside linebacker and let him kind of drop back in coverage a little
almost
bit.
Almost like a Von Miller
so,
type.
Yeah,
almost
so
like
not,
a Von Miller
so he's
type
not
transition.
Just beating up on these big offensive linemen every play, because I think that can take away from his career a lot faster than dropping back into coverage sometimes can. And we've seen it from him playing outside that he can do that zone coverage and he can guard.
In New England,
he can
guard
tight ends.
In New England, he was a...
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think they do go edge rusher here, even though there are better prospects on my board overall. I think they take the best...
It's what they need.
I think they take the best edge rusher fill a need with Carlos Basham Jr. out of Wake Forest.
I think Arizona's very... I want to say electrifying and very youthful in their offense, and I think they just jumped the gun here and go Kyle Pitts as next on the draft. It looks like New England is up, and I thought New England was gonna steal away with Pitts, but I have them picking Rashad Bateman from University of Minnesota.
Okay, another receiver for the Patriots, Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry.
They really shouldn't look too far outside that receiver position, as it has just been atrocious. Their best. They thought N'Keal Harry was going to work. That obviously hasn't worked out the past 2 years. Julian Edelman is aging a lot. And then you got Jacoby Myers, who's that kind of budding player. But I think Bateman right now is a little biased. Like, he has all the promise and talent to be a great, smooth, and technical type of receiver. And there's a good chance he could instantly be wide receiver one with Cam Newton.
Yes, he does. He does have all those qualities. And their offensive line is great. I have offensive linemen really high on my board now because they're my next best prospects, but I don't think they go linemen. Their line is really good. They have Isaiah Wynn, Joe Tooney, David Andrews, Shaq Mason. I think that line is set.
Yeah, it's great.
I think N'Keal Harry still has time to prove that he's a first-round talent. They get Edelman back once he's back from... What injury does he have? He is old, but just throw him in the slot. He'll do a job for you. You know what I mean? He knows his role. But I think, for me, the Patriots go out and get a linebacker here. And I think
Notre Dame good?
No, I think I have
Georgia.
I think I have him taking Dylan Moses from Alabama.
Wow.
The middle linebacker. Instead of going outside with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame, I think they go inside with Dylan Moses and slot him in next to Juwan Bentley and Chase Winovich. And I think that forms a pretty good middle linebacker tandem, but they don't have that like middle linebacker guy. You know what I mean? They do play a 3-4 defense. So
they don't have the pure tackler.
Yeah, exactly. They need two middle linebackers in there who can do a job. And Juwan Bentley's been doing actually pretty good. But the next man up is Terez Hall. And I've never heard of that guy in my life, which means he's either not very good or I'm just a moron. But I think they're taking Dylan Moses out of Alabama here. I think he feels a need. And he's pretty close to my next best prospect on my board right now. So I think that's where they go with this pick.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I see wide receiver as more of a need than defense. for the Patriots, but
I could totally
I really
see
like
him
that
going
pick,
Bateman.
I think.
I could totally see him going Bateman. It could go either way. Let's see, who do we got next, Dan?
So that was the 16th. That was mid first round, and
all right.
Honestly, for my thoughts, I have Gregory Rousseau still on the board, and we're at 16, and you still have Devontae Smith, I think.
I had him at...
Where did you have him?
When
13
we
with
we
the
both
Bears?
Drafted...
Or, no, they traded down.
No, yeah, Giants. The Giants traded up for that pick and got
Devontae
Smith.
Okay.
Let's see. My board right now, who do I still have? I still have Kyle Pitts is my best
Zach
prospect
Wilson,
right now.
Right?
No, I had him to the Lions.
That's right.
Should we go through our picks so far, Daniel?
Yeah, have you been keeping track?
I haven't, but I'm sure I can remember.
Yeah, so we both have Lawrence Fields.
Yep.
Sewell, top three.
Yep.
And then it gets a little shaky. I have Parsons going four, and you have...
I have Surtain. Patrick
Surtain.
Surtain.
And then I have Surtain going five.
Right, and I have... Gregory Russo going five to the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Edge rusher. Six to Philly.
And I had Devontae Smith.
I had Jamar Chase.
Seven, I had Zach Wilson.
I had Micah Parsons.
At eight, we both had Pie, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Nine, I think I had Jamar Chase.
9 to Miami, I had Jalen Waddle.
Mm-hmm. And then 10, we both had Fairley.
Yep. And then 11,
we both had Lance.
12, I had Zach Wilson, and you had...
Slater.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 13 to Chicago. I had the Giants trading up for Devontae Smith.
And I had Waddle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We both agreed on Horn at 14.
We both did agree on Horn at 14 to San Fran. 15.
I had Pitts at 15.
15, who did I have? 15 to Arizona. Oh, I had Carlos Basham from Wake Forest, the edge rusher.
Yeah, you valued the edge rushers very high. I still have Russo and...
Yeah,
still there,
still
and then at 16 that we just had, I had Bateman, and you had the middle linebacker.
Yep,
from,
Dylan Moses, Alabama.
Where was it, Notre Dame?
Alabama, Dylan Moses.
Alabama.
Yep.
All right, yeah, Moses.
Right.
All right, 17.
All right, we're halfway there. 17, Baltimore. Can you believe Baltimore is projected 17th pick right now after what happened last year? Gosh. Lamar Jackson, Madden curse is real.
The Browns have a better record.
Browns are 9-3, man. The Browns are 9-3. Can you believe it? Could this be their year? No.
At 17, they're not picking Gregory Russo again. They got one of the best D lines in the league. Do they still have Brandon Williams?
No, but they have Calais.
They have Calais Campbell, and they have Yannick Ngakoue.
Matthew Judon.
Mm-hmm.
They have
yeah, they have a great...
They have Patrick Queen. They have Patrick Nwosu. They have a good linebacking core. I don't think they go linebacker either. They do have
and
Brandon Williams,
I
actually.
I think right here, they need some weapons on the offense for receivers, but that system in Baltimore that they run, they don't utilize the receivers at all, so why waste a pick on a receiver, right?
Exactly.
Especially with four receivers for me off the board, you still have Bateman,
this team,
but they don't utilize
the
receivers.
So weird. This team is so weird to draft for because they don't have any needs on defense, they don't have a need at quarterback, they don't have needs at running back because they drafted Dobbins last year, they still have Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards who can both do a job. They don't have
and they have Dobbins.
They have a very below average wide receiver core of Marquise Brown, Willie Snead, and Devin Duvernay, but they never throw the ball. So,
so that's why I'm picking the one that you didn't bring up. I'm picking an old lineman because there might be a departure this offseason of Ronnie Stanley, and even they lost him actually midseason, and Marshall Yanda, right?
Mm-hmm. Marshall Yanda's retired 2 years ago, but they just locked up Stanley to a big 7-year contract, so he's not going anywhere.
So I think right here they actually pick an old lineman. I don't know if you have that as well.
I do have them
picking. But I have them picking Wyatt Davis from Ohio State.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
I think the old linemen for this draft are all just wild cards, and they all could be. There's only one up front old lineman, and that's Sewell, obviously. But I have Wyatt Davis here at tackle, as he's a strict. I think he's a strict tackle, but he is a great offensive tackle, and I think he is good for the outside runs for Lamar Jackson and that Ravens option crew. And so I think Wyatt Davis would be a great pick here.
Wyatt Davis, I'm not seeing him anywhere on my board.
From Ohio State.
Okay, lineman from Ohio State. Okay, so he's a
trophy fighter. There's also Jalen Mayfield as well.
Yeah, I must have just missed him. Let me see. I have them going lineman too, but I have them taking I have them taking Samuel Cosmi out of Texas. The tackle, 6'7", 300 pounds. I think you put him opposite Ronnie Stanley. Swing him out to that right tackle side. DJ Fluker is like, he's all right, but like, he's getting old and he's not gonna do a job for you. It's too many years to come. So I think they get Samuel Cosmi from Texas. So I think they go O-lineman too, specifically tackle.
Mm-hmm. Next, I think the Raiders have the next pick.
Yes, they do.
And if this happens, I know they're just going to be over ecstatic, as Gruden might be able to pull this off in my draft and pick up Gregory Russo at 18.
No.
And I think that's exactly that what nuts. They need, as they need edge rushers. And so Russo at 18 would just mean that their defense just gets that much better. It's just their defense is almost what's losing their games, as well as their offense is great this year, as Derek Carr is becoming a star in front of our eyes this year. And Josh Jacobs is an elite running back. They have Henry Ruggs, who's from Alabama. Tyrell Williams is out this year.
You're right.
And you still got guys like Darren Waller, who's just top three tight end in the league. And I think right now the Raiders need defense. And Gregory Russo at 18, who for many, he probably won't fall that far down. But for me, I have Gregory Russo going 18.
I mean, it definitely could happen if teams value Quiddy Pay over him. But I have them going corner here, just because I feel like that defensive line has enough weapons on it where they can afford to not. If Russo's there, obviously they take him, but I don't think he falls there. Plus, they have Cleveland Farrell, who they drafted number 4 overall 2 years ago. And guys like Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley, who they picked up off waivers. They have Max Crosby, who's been really good this year. But I think they go corners. And last year, they took a corner around this spot in the draft from Ohio State. And I think they do it again this year. Sean Wade out of Ohio State. He's the next best corner on my board. And I think he is going to be a star, actually. I think he's a lot better than Damon Arnette was when they picked him last year. A lot higher value. At 6'1", 194, he's a bigger corner, so he can contend with those big receivers in this league. I think he could maybe slot in as the number one guy for their cornerbacks right away. I mean, their number one and two guys right now are Nevin Lawson and Trayvon Mullen, who are okay options, but I think if you get a guy like Sean Wade in there and he really shows up the way he did at Ohio State, I think you could see that Ohio State cornerback tandem becoming a thing of Sean Wade and Damon Arnette out in Las Vegas next year.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. That's a great pick. I think for the Raiders, if Gregory Russo falls, I think he does fall this far, like, truth be told, but
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
I mean, it's definitely possible. If teams really value the Michigan kid a lot more than Russo, then I guess he could fall this far. I just don't see it happening myself. At 19, we move on. You have the Giants there, but I have the Bears there after trading back, after the Giants traded up to 13 to get Devontae Smith. I have the Bears at 19. You have the Giants. Who do you have the New York Football Giants picking here, D-Trum?
Well, it's kind of an interesting pick as it's almost like they don't need a lot, but
they do need
a lot. Or there's not a certain place where they need a lot, but they're not great at anything, but they're not like,
they're not horrible terrible, at anything.
If you know what I'm
exactly.
saying.
Cause exactly.
They do have James Bradbury now, who has become a very great cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a stud, actually.
And so I'm blanking on guys who play on the D-line at New York, and I think they don't really apply pressure at all.
I mean,
you
have guys like Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence. We're both former first-round picks. But, yeah, I could see them going D-line for sure. What are you thinking?
I was thinking Aziz Ojulari from Georgia here, as he's a great talent at the edge rusher. But I also see an old lineman being picked right now because they need to build around Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. And I think Samuel Cosmi from Texas might be the pick here, actually, after reassessing. And I think Cosmi goes number 19 to the New York Giants.
Samuel Cosmi. So I had him. Where'd I have him? I had a couple picks earlier. What was it? Baltimore? I think it was Baltimore. Yeah. But yeah, I could definitely see them going O-line. But unlike you, I have the Bears here at 19 after the trade with the Giants. And I think that the Bears take the best overall player on the board here for me. And I think they go tight end Kyle Pitts. Finally coming off the board out of Florida. They drafted Cole Kmet last year.
Even with Evan Engram.
The Bears.
Right. Yeah.
They drafted Cole Kmet out of Notre Dame last year. They have Jimmy Graham, but I think Jimmy Graham's contract might be up after this year. And even if it's not, I think slotting Pitts in there as an athletic tight end. Kmet is more of like a possession blocking type of tight end, you know what I mean? But Pitts is like that. He's that athletic, like wide receiver type tight end, you know what I mean? So I feel like that
he's
could
a new generation of tight end.
Yeah, it could add a whole new aspect to their offensive arsenal if they pick up Pitts at 19 after trading back. I think that's a great bit of business there for the Chicago Bears.
If Pitts were to fall that far, no hesitation at all. That's a rush to the podium for the Chicago Bears.
It is. I feel that it is as well. I mean, I think you think about another Florida guy there in Kyle Trask, just because you do have that need at quarterback, but I think maybe they trade back into the first round late, which could be coming, and draft a quarterback, which we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Move on to 20 now. We got the Minnesota hometown Vikings. Let's hear it, Daniel. Who do you got our Minneapolis Vikings taking?
We're not picking anyone but old linemen, let me tell you that.
Really?
And I am just...
I don't have them taking
an
old lineman. I don't have them taking an old lineman.
Wow. Well, it's. I think it's one of the things that we need to work on for sure as we get Danielle Hunter back next week. Or next year. And so I think we pick either Vera Tucker from USC or we pick Darisaw from VTech. And I think either one of those two, honestly, if you made me pick one, I'd probably pick Darisaw as their tackles. Need more help than our interior. Mm-hmm. I say we pick Darisaw here at number 20, and I wouldn't hesitate or look back at all regret.
So you have Darisaw ranked higher than Leatherwood from Alabama?
Yeah, I do. Leatherwood I don't really have going until later in the first round. He is first-round talent, but I'd rather see the Vikings pick Darisaw here from VTech.
Right. I feel that. So for the Vikings right now, my dilemma, I want to go O-tackle, but I feel like the Vikings...
You want the boom pick.
I want the boom pick, and I feel like the Vikings will make that boom pick. Rick Spielman has a history of drafting the top player in the class that is available. He has a history of that. You know what I mean? So, like...
He doesn't go with the needs always. He goes with the boom.
We have Adam Thielen. We have Justin Jefferson. Who's our number three? Olabisi Johnson? Yeah, he's okay. He's not a number three receiver in the NFL. Chad Beebe, not a number three receiver in the NFL. They go with the boom pick. They go with the best overall player left on the board. They go with a top 4 receiver in this draft, and they take Rashad Bateman, the hometown kid, out of the University of Minnesota at number 20.
I can't complain about that at all, and there is lots of old linemen in this draft. as I have Leatherwood going lot. Later. And you could honestly pick a receiver here and just have big Jay Jets and Thielen and just big O-line for the rest of the draft. And honestly, I wouldn't be mad if the Vikings traded 2 and 4 for Sam Darnold and put him behind Kirk for his last back year of his contract. I think Darnold has raw talent.
Yeah.
And I think he could really perform well if in this Vikings team. And if you give him Bateman, Thielen, and Jay Jets, I think that team is a great team with Delvin Cook as well. But
Bateman is an outside receiver. So you slide him. But see, you slide Bateman outside. You slide Jefferson into the slot. And he just goes ham like he did at LSU. You know what I mean? LSU primarily played him in the slot. That's where we thought we were going to have to play him here. But he's excelled outside. But sliding him back into where he's normally plays and where he's learned to play his whole life, I mean, it could be deadly for this Viking offense. Just take it to, like, an unreal level. You know what I mean? And I could see them, another team, trading back into the end of the first round for a tackle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Vikings traded down last year. Mm-hmm. And or they actually, yeah, or did they trade up for Justin Jefferson?
They traded Stephon Diggs for Justin Jefferson.
That's right, that's right. And then they traded down with the 49ers.
Yes, and they still got their man who they were going to take at 25, so that was a great bit of business. That's like what we had with the Bears in this draft, taking Kyle Pitts at 19 for me.
All right, so we have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We have 12 picks now. Should we do a little rapid fire now?
Rapid fire? You want to speed it up a little bit? Okay. We got Tampa Bay at 21.
I think they try to protect Brady for one last year, and they pick the guy who I was going to pick for the Vikings, Vera Tucker, here at 21. They did pick Wirfs last year, but I think they continue to protect Tom Brady.
Yep.
And try to get that. Because their defense is great. Their defense is outstanding. They have the best linebacking core in the league. They have a great secondary as Antoine Winfield. And it wasn't great against the Tampa Bay Chiefs, but no secondary is good against the Tampa Bay or the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I've been picking an O-line.
I actually
come to think of it, I have Leatherwood going 21 as he follows the Buccaneers. I think that's very good talent at 21.
Yep, I have Leatherwood going there too. Same exact player. I think they swing him out to left tackle. They have Wirfs on the right. They have Marpet, Jensen, and AQ Shipley inside. So only one more spot to fill.
Just and help Tom Brady for one more year. Exactly. He signed a 2-year deal, I think.
They have four of the five spots fully filled now. I think they take Leatherwood, fill out that last spot with the best O-lineman left on the board. And I think he falls to them at 21 as well. So 22.
And then staying in the same state,
Miami.
We have the Dolphins. Same degree. And I've been picking a linebacker here from Tulsa.
From Tulsa.
Mm-hmm. I have him going at 22 to the Dolphins as he has a great – Flores has developed a great defensive scheme. As we've all seen from the series, we thought the Dolphins were the worst team in the NFL, but they're great this year. And I have him picking a linebacker and just creating that linebacking core that is as versatile as they already have. Jerome Baker, who has proven he is a pretty good, speedy linebacker in today's NFL. And I think they add on to that and pick Collins here.
Who do you have them picking? I think we missed that.
I have them picking – Zavin Collins from Tulsa.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I see him. He's a linebacker?
Yeah, but he does do a little bit of edge work. Okay. But I think that's what the Dolphins need.
Yeah, I like that pick for Miami. So I had them going Waddle earlier in the draft at 9. Here at 22, I think they focus
on... trade this one. They might even flip this
I think it's definitely possible, but I think here, I think they go offensive line. They took Austin Jackson first round last year. I think they take another tackle and swing him to the other side. I think they take Christian Darrisaw, who you had going earlier, the tackle out of Virginia Tech here at 22 to Miami. I think he's the next best lineman on the board, and I think he would be a slam dunk pick for Miami there.
Yeah, for the next pick, I got my Colts.
Yep.
And for the Colts pick here, I'm going with the splash. I'm picking Kyle Trask, number 23. Ballard over at Indianapolis has been known as one of the better GMs in the league for a while now. And I think Ballard sees that Phillip Rivers is aging. And Jacoby Brissett obviously is not going to be your guy.
He's not
and
the
I
guy.
Think this Heisman runner Kyle Trask is the pick at 23. He's going to be great. And the old line at the Colts are outstanding. They are great. Yeah. Even though you got Costanzo, who's aging at 33, he may be retiring soon. I think you pick Kyle Trask here at number 23, and you develop him into the next quarterback for the future. And you got Michael Pittman, who's going to be great in this league, and you have Zach Pascal. T.Y. Hilton is showing signs of his past self. And
he is.
You got
a
great Trey Burton, Jack Doyle combo. And your guy, JT, Jonathan Taylor, receiving back and also power back. And so I think the Colts offense would be scary with Trask developing.
Yeah. Okay, and that's a splash pick for sure for the Indianapolis Colts. I have them going a safer option. I have them going with my next best player available on the board, which is outside linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame. 6'2", 216 for Jeremiah there. I think they slot him in. He's another one of those edge rusher, outside linebacker, dual threat type players. With Justin Houston aging, they could slot him in there. They could also slot him in next to Darius Leonard and Anthony Walker in the linebacker core. I mean, it gives them a lot.
And they do have Okereke, and Okereke has been very good this year.
I mean, it just
their defense has just been amazing.
With little weaknesses on this team, I think taking a player like that who's like a dual threat player can play both positions, I feel like that gives them just the best. It's the best option for this team at this spot in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you picked a linebacker there. And for the next pick, you have another AFC South team with the Titans.
We do. We do have the
Titans. And I say they pick Moses, who's still on the board for me.
Okay.
And I think that would be a very great pick for the Titans.
Inside linebacker. So you slot him in next to Rashawn Evans in there instead of Darren Bates.
Yeah, I don't know much about this Titans linebacking core, but from what I've seen, their weakness is definitely defense. As they let the Browns just score all over. They let Baker Mayfield look like the next coming of Joe Montana out there. And I think a linebacker like Moses from one of the most prolific defensive colleges ever in Alabama, and have Moses slide in there as your starting linebacker, I think it would be a great pick at 24.
For sure. I think that would be a great pick for them. Slot him in next to his another guy from Alabama, Rashawn Evans, who also they do play 3-4, so they could play inside linebacker together, which would be, I think, a great Alabama duo for the Titans. However, he is off the board for me, and with Tennessee, their offense is pretty good. They have Derrick Henry, they have Ryan Tannehill, who's coming into his own a lot. The wide receiver core, I look at it, I see AJ Brown, star, Corey Davis, above average. Then there's a huge drop-off, right? AJ Brown and Corey Davis are two big, deep threat receivers. You know what I mean? Big guys who can go up and win the jump ball.
You don't
win the 50-50 balls. They don't have that little guy, like a Tyreek Hill type player.
They don't have the run
That's
after
what I'm saying,
catch.
The Tyreek Hill effect. The Tyreek Hill effect player for this Titans team is Purdue wide receiver Rondale Moore. 5'9", 180 pounds for the Titans at 24. I think that's a steal if he's still on the board, and I think he would fit amazing into that offense with A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. I think that gives Tannehill another option, and it's going to make them put their fastest corner out there so they won't be able to get to Derrick Henry as fast anymore.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot as well. Moses was still on the board. Titans are going to pass up on Moses if he's still there. And so,
obviously,
For 25, it's the Jets again. And they need a lot. And I think I'm just going to pick the best one on my board, and they need everything. And so, at the cornerback position, I still have Sean Wade from Ohio State. And I think Sean Wade at 25 would be an absolute home run of a pick for the Jets.
I think that's a steal for the Jets as well, actually. I think that would be a great pick for them. Unfortunately for me, Sean Wade is off my board. So I am also going with my best next overall player. However, it is on the opposite side of the ball. And if I do remember, they just traded away Le'Veon Bell. And their starting running back is who? LaMichael Pirine? Don't think he's a franchise back, so
Frank Gore.
So I have them going with their second Clemson Tiger of the draft, Travis Etienne. They're getting the quarterback and running back from the Clemson Tigers, both with national championship pedigree, both championship winners, both proven players. They're filling out their running back and quarterback position with franchise players, both teammates. They already have that chemistry. They're ready for the NFL, both of them. I think that's a slam dunk pick for the Jets at 25.
I like that a lot. And next up, we have the Jaguars, who also need a lot of help.
Yes, they do.
And I see this as a total win for their defense, as they need lots of defense. And I see them picking the guy from Notre Dame that you had earlier, Jeremiah Owusu-Kamara. Right. I have him going here.
Yeah. Yep, I could totally see that.
As if he's still available, he's going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They can't mess up that pick, right?
No, slot him in next to Joe Schobert. I think that's a good pick for them. It just gives them another aspect there. You know what I mean? So, for me, the Jaguars, we already gave them Justin Fields early in the draft. Obviously, they have a lot of weapons on offense. I don't think you can say the same about their offensive line. I mean,
not at all.
They have Juwan Taylor, who was a early second-round pick 2 years ago or something out of Florida. But the opposite of him, Cam Robinson, is just not going to do it for you. I'm sorry. He's just not. And I have a guy going here that you had going a lot earlier. I have Northwestern tackle Rashawn Slater going here to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think he's my next...
That'd be a great
lineman,
pick, yeah.
Next offensive lineman on the board for me. They got to protect Fields, let him get outside the pocket. He is one of the faster linemen, sitting only at 6'3". So I think that allows for them to move him out of the pocket with Fields.
Especially with Fields.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Move him, just have him be like that lead blocker for Fields and for James Robinson. The speedier offensive lineman. I think that'd be a great pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars there if they could snag him at 26.
At 27, we have the Bills. And this is where I'm picking Travis Etienne. This is where I'm having the Clemson Tiger go to Buffalo, as Devin Singletary just hasn't been the man. He has not fit the bill for this Buffalo team. And their air strike is amazing. As you got Stephon Diggs.
They don't need more weapons.
Who's just been an elite receiver.
Yep.
And I couldn't – John Brown, Cole Beasley has been a stud this year.
And the
and
offensive
I couldn't
line
name their
is
tight
good.
End, but they almost don't need a tight
Dawson
end.
Dawson Knox.
And their old
he's
line
been
has been
good.
Great.
Dawson Knox has been good.
And then you look at their running back, and you have Zach Moss, who is a rookie this year, but isn't a running back that you can rely on. And I think Travis Etienne, the winner, the national champion – I think that this would be a great pick for this Buffalo team. And their defense, I think, is going to make a huge comeback next year, as it's been terrible this year. I think when everyone in a better mindset, and Sean McDermott, who I think is the top 10 coach right now, is going to coach them well this offseason. I think they go, you can even improve that offense even more.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great pick for them, just because Singletary is not panning out as they thought he would. But I actually have them going on the opposite side of the ball here. I look at this defense and I see a good defensive line. Ed Oliver in last year's draft. Mario Addison's still there. Good linebacking core of Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, guys like that. And a good safety duo of Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, two star safeties there. And I see Tre'Davious White, and then I look opposite him and I see Levi Wallace and Josh Norman, who are both aging and average and aging cornerbacks. So I see them going corner here, and the next one on my board who I think fits in with them is Darion Kendrick out of the University of Clemson. I think he fits in very well with the Bills opposite Tre'Davious White. I think that'd be a pretty good cornerback and duo. Josh Norman could be a good mentor. I'm not sure if he's the best personality to be a mentor, but there's always Levi Wallace. So I see them going corner here, and I think it's Darion Kendrick out of Clemson.
All right, I like that pick a lot, actually. And then we got four more picks in this first round, and somehow, some way, the Cleveland Browns have a late first round pick.
28.
And I have them taking a wide receiver here and Ronald Moore from Purdue.
Wow.
I think they got Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, who are great receivers. They have one of the best front sevens in the NFL, especially this year. They may have the defensive player of the year in Myles Garrett. He's been an absolute monster.
Who also hit
Helmet or not. And then you got at receiver, Baker Mayfield was passing to everyone. That Titan secondary was horrendous. But then you look at after Odell and Jarvis Landry, you could argue that he is deteriorating and he's not doing as well as he used to.
Yep.
You got Rashard Higgins, who I don't think is a great wide receiver three. And right now I think You got Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry as great route runners and great
And you have, like,
rack runners.
Young guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones from Michigan, but I don't think he's going to fulfill that number three hole like Moore could.
Exactly, like you said, the Tyreek Hill effect.
Exactly.
And I think Moore would help that team a lot. We do have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb in a great O-line, and I think Moore at this pick would elevate that Browns team to maybe take the AFC North in the future.
I think that's a great pick. Unfortunately, I don't have Moore still available, so I'm feeling another need for the Browns. The Browns have a pretty good defense. Like you said, very good front seven. Corners are actually pretty good with Terrence Mitchell and Denzel Ward
has been great.
But then you look at the safeties. They do have Grant Delpit on IR, but their starting safeties right now are Carl Joseph and Andrew Sendejo. We're both older and both...
And Sendejo might be one of the worst players of NFL of all time.
Below average. But Delpit in there is a young star safety once he develops. But I think they go safety here. The best safety in the draft, Javon Holland out of Oregon. Slot him in next to Delpit. I think that's a really good young safety duo. And then you have the young corner in Denzel Ward. I think that's a really good... secondary that they're building there in Cleveland, should they go Holland from Oregon with this pick?
Yeah, I respect that pick a lot, as we're four picks now from the end of the first round, and here's the Green Bay Packers, and I see a need at receiver again, but it's been working. You got Aaron Rodgers behind the center, you don't really need receivers. I see it almost might be a waste of a pick at receiver. Even though Rodgers has been begging for weapons, I think his weapons are actually shaping up to be great now, as Rodgers leads the league in passing yards, I think. Or he leads the league in passing touchdowns, I believe.
Yeah, he's a stud.
But right here at 29, I got to help that defense, man. Their defense this year has not been great, as they've been letting people score left and right of them. And I still have edge rusher from Penn State, Jason Elway, available, and I think this is a pick for the Packers that they would hit a slam dunk with.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that they go defense. I'm not sure that it's an edge rusher, just because they have Kenny Clark, they have Dean Lowry, they have Preston Smith, and they did draft Rashawn Gary 12th
That's
overall
right.
2 years ago or something like that. But I think they do go defense. However, I think they go linebacker. I think they go Joseph Osai, the outside linebacker from Texas. You have Christian Kirksey and Kamal Martin, the U of M guy, in the middle there. But then if you can slot Za'Darius Smith outside one edge and Osai outside the other edge, I think that's a really good linebacking core. Running a 3-4 defense, I think that would be really, really good for the Packers.
And then, terrible to say good in Packers in the same sentence from Minnesota, but that's 29. And at 30, we have the Chiefs, and I say the rich keep getting richer, and they get Liam Eikenberg from Notre Dame to improve that O-line even more.
Wow. Okay. You think they go O-linemen?
I think they go O-line here. I think Liam Eikenberg is...
I see zero needs for the Chiefs.
I see defense... But I say they just keep on getting richer. Their defense shows up in some games. I see Darian Kendrick from Clemson right here. But I say they just go O-line here and try to just go all offenses. That's today's NFL.
Yeah, I could totally see it. But I think the O-line is good enough for the Chiefs that they don't have a need there. I don't think they have a need anywhere. So I see them trading out, and I think the Bears trade in and take Kyle Trask, the quarterback out of Florida, still on my board. A Heisman contender right now. He's still there. The Bears see that at 30, and they're like, man, we got to take advantage of that. So they hop in there. They get Kyle Trask, and they fill out their quarterback of the future with the Florida prospect. I think he fits Nagy's system. I think he's the perfect quarterback for Chicago. So by trading back and getting Pitts, and then trading back in and getting his teammate, Kyle Trask, I think that'd be a solid draft for the Chicago Bears.
Which they haven't had in the recent years, as they picked Mitchell Trubisky over Watson and Mahomes.
They haven't been
Kevin, I don't know if you remember this name, but Kevin White.
Yep, Kevin White,
seventh
overall. He's on a practice squad now. I saw it on TikTok the other day. He's on a practice squad now. I have no idea where, but I remember seeing that somewhere.
Well, I know he's on the practice squad for the New Orleans Saints, and that's who have the 31st pick.
That's true.
And I don't see them picking quarterback anymore. Nope. As Taysom Hill is 3-0.
I would have before when Drew Brees was starting. I would have said they get their quarterback of the future, but Taysom, man, he's shown he can win games. He could be that.
And they still have Jameis Winston.
I know, but I don't know. I don't know about Jameis, man.
Their O line's great. Given him a chance. Their defense is amazing.
We'll just have to see what happens.
Their defense is amazing. And they have Alvin Kamara, and they have Jared Cook, who's a solid tight end, but they can't pick a tight end at 31 with Pitts out, who's the only first-round talent at tight end.
I have.
So I say they pick a receiver here. And I think they pick Terrence Marshall from LSU.
I like that pick.
And stay in that Louisiana culture because they got Michael Thomas and then what? An aging Emmanuel Sanders, an unproven Traquan Smith, some return specialists in there. I say they pick a huge splash pick with Terrence Marshall here from LSU. And that's going to instantly make their offense a little more scarier as you got another outside threat. And so I think Mitchell's their guy.
For sure. I could totally see that. I, unlike you, actually have another first-round tight end on my board in Pat Freiermuth from Penn State, 6'5", 256 pounds.
He's been a stud for a long time.
He has
time
been
now,
a stud, and so I think he's a first-round prospect. And I think the Saints do pick him here. I look at the Saints tight ends. Jared Cook is aging, and he's not amazing anymore. He's okay. Adam Trautman is not going to do it for you. I think they take Freiermuth and pick up their tight end of the future here. I think they have no needs, or they have little enough needs where they can afford to draft a tight end in the first round. So I think they go Freiermuth out of Penn State here. Get another weapon for Drew Brees. Especially on checkdowns, a tight end is crucial for a quarterback who's only going to throw checkdowns.
For sure.
So I think they get their franchise tight end here.
And finally, this has been a long podcast, but we're at the final pick of the first round.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
And we got the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I was very close with saying Najee Harris here at 32.
Really?
I do my fair amount of James Conner slander. And he's a solid running back. Watching tonight. Benny Snell and Jalen Samuels, they don't get the job done. Those running backs for the Steelers do not get the job done. But when James Conner's on the field, it definitely makes a difference. So I think with an aging O-line and an aging quarterback as well, obviously, I think they go Jalen Mayfield from Michigan here to wrap up the first round.
Okay. Jalen Mayfield.
Because they don't need any needs on defense at all.
Just to protect Big Ben for one more year?
Tight end, they have Eric Ebron, who I think is still in his prime. You got, of course, they don't need receivers. The receiver core is absolutely outstanding. Every year, they get some stuff in the fourth round, like Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, James Washington, for example. And so right here, I see them picking Mayfield from Michigan and helping that O-line out with an aging O-line with Alejandro Villanueva aging. And, I think this is a good pick for them.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it for sure. I could see teams like the Panthers or a team like the Falcons maybe trading in here to draft a quarterback. But I think that the Steelers stay here and they themselves draft a quarterback. Big Ben is 38 years old. I don't think he's going to play for much longer. He just gets beat up back there. It seems like he gets an injury every week. So I think they go with the only... After this quarterback, there is quite a drop-off in quarterback prospects, but I think they go with the guy who's putting up all the stats right now for the Crimson Tide, and I think they go Mac Jones out of Alabama here to sit under Big Ben for a year or two and then take over the reins eventually, and I think he's going to be a stud.
All right, well,
I think that's a good
pick. That's our 32 first-round mock draft.
That is.
If I had to pick out a couple highlights from my point of view, I'd say the drop-off of Gregory Russo was huge as he fell to 18 for me to the Oakland Raiders. And then Kyle Trask went to the Colts at the 23rd pick.
Yeah. I think I think my highlight was getting a couple college duos on the same team. Two of them, Bears getting Trask and Pitts, and the Jets getting Lawrence and Etienne. Offensive weapons from the same college team could be deadly. They already got that chemistry. I mean, we'll do well after this. I'm sure we'll do tons more podcasts together. We'll try to do every podcast together if we can. But they won't be.
This was fun.
It was fun. They won't be as long as this one. We'll try to keep them to like 40 minutes ish. That's like the ideal time, I feel like. But enjoy this hour and 40 minute long podcast. It was fun. It's a good podcast, so we'll keep grinding and we'll see where it takes us. Daniel, thank you for joining me. 2N Sports, the whole squad is here eventually. Hopefully we'll get Steven here, our intern, eventually. But right now the two founders of 2N Sports are here, and hopefully we'll do every podcast together in the future.
For sure, I'm excited. There's always a beauty in the struggle, and we may not have a lot of listeners right now, and might not be great advertising to have an hour 40 long podcast to kick off our first podcast together. We'll definitely look past that, and we'll take suggestions from you guys. If you guys ever have any suggestions for future podcasts, just let us know.
For sure, hit us up on Insta 2N Sports, and I guess that's all we got. Thanks for listening, everybody.